the place of movie scenes.
Live from the Stanley P. Kazakowski Memorial Studio here at WSOU, Seton Hall University, South Orange, New Jersey. Welcome to Thank God for Monday. Under the Greg Cellini, the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn, the class of 85, once my great pleasure to be live with you today, Saturday, March the 7th, 2020. Our millennial crack co-host Gina Pirro is once again with us. Great morning, Gina.
Good morning, Brother Greg.
The purpose of Thank God for Monday is to inspire you, our listeners, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope and healing and peace in these turbulent times. Motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Alicia Keys just said it perfectly. There's nothing you can't do. As always, listeners, really up to you is how to utilize the information we provide. Take full accountability for the decisions you make and the resulting outcomes. Now, one of our goals here at Thank God for Monday is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. And this is why we are so pleased, as March 8th through 14th is Catholic Sisters Week, that Sister Barbara O'Kane, MPF, Vocation Director for the Sisters of the Religious Teachers Filipini, has graced our WSOU studios today. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Sister Barbara.
Thank you, Brother Greg. It's a pleasure to be here.
The pleasure is all ours, certainly. Sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could talk for hours about your incredible life, about Catholic Sisters Week. So let's get right into the conversation. We're very curious, Gene and I'm sure our listeners are as well. Where did you grow up and what was your family life like?
Well, I grew up in New Jersey in East Brunswick in the Diocese of Metuchen with my father, mother, two brothers, and two sisters. And my family life was really grounded in faith from the beginning. We attended Catholic grade school and high school. We always went to Sunday Mass together as a family, adoration when it was held in the parish. And we prayed together as a family around the kitchen table each day.
So you were really grounded beautifully in your faith. Now let's fast forward. How did you know you were being called to religious life?
Well, it took a few times. When I was young, maybe eighth grade or so, our pastor in our parish started a program. He wanted all the parish families to pray for 1 year. Each day to pray a prayer for five vocations to the priesthood or religious life to come from our parish family. And being the faithful family that we were, we took that to heart, and we did. We prayed a Hail Mary each night for five vocations. But my father added to that intention, and we prayed as a family for the five vocations, and may at least one come from our family.
Wow. That's so beautiful.
He added that on his own. And at that time, I was not thinking religious life was for me. Mm-hmm. So I just went on with my life. And sophomore year in college, I remember having a spiritual life growth spurt. And that was when the thought of religious life first really struck hard. I went to a community, spent a day with them. I saw an advertisement in a parish bulletin and checked into it and came away saying, no, I don't think this is for me. Another time, a couple of years later, I felt the question again come. I found another opportunity with another community, spent a day, prayed, shared dinner, but came away again saying, no, I don't think this is God's plan. But the third time was the charm. The third time was the charm. It was unexpected. I had graduated from college and been working, had a successful career, and had my own home. Mm-hmm. I traveled the world. I had all the things that I thought were going to be a successful, happy life. I was really blessed, and I knew it. But I also knew that there was something missing. There was something inside that wasn't fulfilled. And I prayed and said, God, help me. Help me find out your plan for me. And that's when I heard the call the third time, it was just two tiny words. It just came to me in what I call a whisper, religious life.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Wow. And what was your next step after realizing this?
Well, my next step was, at first I said, maybe I'm imagining this. How can this be? How can this be? Why me? Why me? Why would God be calling me? And then I thought, well, why would he call me now? My life seems to be falling into place. I didn't know what to do. But I could not shake the thought of religious life. It just kept coming more and more and more to the forefront. So I knew I had to take action. But my thought was, where do you go with a thought like that? To me, religious life is mysterious. The call is a mysterious thing. It's like a supernatural. But I thought, my first step, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to call my brother. One of my brothers had entered the seminary right here at Seton Hall. He was in the Immaculate Conception Seminary. He had heard God call him to the priesthood.
Really?
And he was on his way.
Wow.
So I thought, okay, he's my go-to person because he's experienced what I think I am experiencing too. And he guided me to find out more from my pastor who, from him, I learned about St. Lucy Filippini's life.
Mm. And it doesn't sound like it was a very easy decision. It was something that you had to really think about and listen to.
You're right. What made it difficult for me was I knew I wanted to follow God's plan for me. I knew that. But I wasn't 100% sure that God was calling me to religious life. I thought so, but I wanted to be
certain.
I wanted that confirmation. Because there was a lot to leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
If I was mistaken, I was leaving behind a great career. I was in IT. I was a software programmer, developer, mm-hmm. analyst. Amazing friends and coworkers, a good salary, my own home, ability to have a independent social life and fun activities. There was a lot to leave behind if I was mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the struggle. My brother also gave me great advice. He said, you'll get the confirmation that you're looking for, but it will happen after you put your trust in God and take that leap of faith and follow where you feel he's calling you. And the more I thought about that, I said, there's truth in that. And God has always blessed me.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants what's best for me. I know that. And he will take care of me if this is where he's calling me, or if not, he'll lead me exactly where I'm meant to be. So once I decided that and entered, it was true. I received that confirmation. I was filled completely with this total sense of peace and joy like I had never known before.
It's wonderful. Brother Greg, is any of this sounding familiar? Brother Greg had left a career in why don't you talk about it?
Yes, thank you so much. I was in big pharmaceuticals for 30 years, and similar to Sister Barbara, there was a lot to give up, certainly, but I felt that emptiness and felt that void, and very similar stories, because I did receive the confirmation soon after becoming a Franciscan Brother of Brooklyn. Greatest decision, certainly, that I've ever made.
And if I can just add, too, from that very moment when I entered, everything beforehand was paled in comparison. Mm. Really, the blessings of being in religious life and knowing I'm where God wants me to be, far surpassed anything else.
It's beautiful. And what attracted you particularly to the Religious Teachers Filippini community?
Well, when I read about the life of St. Lucy Filippini, I read her biography. It's called Forever Yes. It was written by two of our sisters in community. I was so attracted to the issues in St. Lucy Filippini's day and how she made a positive impact on the people and her world, and how our world today is still dealing with the same issues and concerns. And I wanted to be a part of the improvement that can be made in today's world, following the method that, and the gifts, using the gifts that St. Lucy Filippini had. St. Lucy Filippini lived in Italy over 300 years ago, and in her day, the young girls did not receive an education.
Mm.
St. Lucy Filippini had the gift of educating and teaching the faith.
Right.
So she shared those specifically with the young, poorer girls that weren't really seen in high esteem. And she also taught the mothers, realizing, and the young women too, realizing that if she could reinforce the message that the girls learned in school with the home, then the whole family unit will be strengthened also. She also made a big difference in the morality of her day, because the people really did not know the faith and did not know God and his love for them. They didn't have the right understanding of their sacredness and the respect that they're due as a human being created by God and his love. By her teaching them that, the whole morality changed for the better. And then she also did so many wonderful things for the poor and the sick in her day. These were issues that, again, we face today. And I think that the way that St. Lucy Filippini went about helping others, I wanted to do the same thing.
We are so blessed to have a modern-day St. Lucy Filippini listeners with us this morning, that's for sure. Now, Sister, one of the things I can relate to is that when you kind of tell friends and family you're becoming a brother, you're becoming a sister, there might be different responses. How did your family and friends respond to this?
I was pleasantly surprised by my friends. I told my best friend, and I was a little hesitant because this is big news.
Mm-hmm.
This was going to be, if it was a decision for me to make, leaving everything behind to enter religious life, I thought, how is someone else going to respond to this?
Right.
I told my best friend, and she looked at me very nonchalantly and said, "Oh, yeah. My family and I knew this a long time."
It's no shock to her.
So she saw something in me where that serving God and his people in this life was meant to be. My coworkers too, they could not have been more thrilled for me, which was surprising. I was overjoyed to get that response. But I just mentioned that because I think that it's good for people to know, if you are feeling called to religious life or to the priesthood, you may be surprised by people's reaction. I think you're going to find more support than you realize, because the people who know you and care about you want your happiness, and you're going to be fulfilled and happiest when you're following God's plan for you. For my family, they were thrilled. My father and my brother especially were thrilled right from the start. And my other family members, it's a big change for them as well. So I think they were concerned that I would be happy, that mm-hmm. this was right for me, that I was entering for the right reasons. Once they saw that, they could not be happier for me, too.
That's awesome.
The support is amazing.
And we're curious to know a little bit more about just what your daily life is like and what role prayer has in that.
Daily life varies, but there is some key parts that are fundamental. to each day. Again, another thing I was looking for as important to me in choosing a religious community was a strong prayer life. So as Filipini sisters, we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, which is we pray morning prayer, evening prayer, and night prayer as part of each day, as prayer for the church, for all the people around the world in the church. We also celebrate Mass each day, which is the highlight, and adoration, Eucharistic adoration, is also a key part of our daily life. We serve in different ministries. Our key charism or gift and mission is the Christian education of youth. So most of our sisters are involved in Catholic school education, either as principals or teachers. Many are involved in parish religious education as directors of the religious education programs and catechists. Some serve in working with the youth as counselors. So the ministry may vary, and the day-to-day work within each ministry may vary. But we gather again for our meals, we live together, we serve together, so it's that real sense of family within each day.
That's beautiful. And for any of our male listeners, and maybe Brother Greg could speak more to this, it sounds like also being a Franciscan brother is something similar.
Yes, very analogous. The importance of prayer, the morning prayer, the evening prayer, the meals together, the fraternal sharing, the working together, also very, very important.
Go ahead.
If I could just add about the prayer life also, the prayer is the fuel for the work that we do.
Thank you, sister.
It really is the energy that we need to go and serve others in the mission that we're called to do. And so we also make special times for retreat weeks each year and a monthly day of prayer where the sisters gather together to be a community refocusing specifically on God and our prayer life.
Absolutely. And we're also just a little bit curious to learn what ministries that you've served in since becoming a sister and what you're up to now.
Mm. Well, I have had the wonderful pleasure of serving as a language arts teacher and a theology teacher for several schools within New Jersey, teaching grades from 4 through high school level. I also have served as a catechist in several religious ed programs in parishes throughout the years. I've served as a vice principal at one of our Catholic schools and led an outreach program for a parish, helping those with financial or physical needs, spiritual needs, which was very rewarding. In fact, that was during the Year of Mercy, so it was very, very timely and meaningful.
Right.
And currently, I am the vocation director for our Religious Teachers Filipini community, so I spend my time trying to help young women who are seeking to discover God's plan for them, because I would like them to find the same joy that I found.
That's so very, very beautiful. Listeners, for anyone who's just tuned in, welcome to Thank God for Monday, the weekly talk show about the workplace here on WSOU 89.5 FM. I'm Brother Greg from the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn, class of 85. Our great millennial co-host Gina Pirro is with us again. We've got a very special guest today in studio, because this coming week, March 8th through 14th, is Catholic Sisters Week. Her name is Sister Barbara O'Kane, MPF. She's the vocation director of the Sisters of the Religious Teachers Filipini, sharing her fabulous vocation story, going from a very, very successful career in IT to the vocation director now of the Religious Teachers Filipini. And we've been talking about her transformation, how she made this bold decision to give up everything to become a sister, and just a lot of wonderful aspects of her conversion from the corporate world to religious life. And sister, I'm very curious, and I'm sure Jean is and the listeners as well, while you were in this transition, did you continue in your own education while in formation to become a sister, perhaps even here at beautiful Setonia?
Yes, I have continued in my education, especially being in a teaching community of sisters. Education and ongoing formation is very important. I did have the good fortune of studying here at the seminary, Immaculate Conception Seminary, here at Seton Hall University. I studied for my master's in theology here, and I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, good for you, Sonny. What a great program there. You've come in this morning, and you stand out certainly very, very much, because especially this beautiful religious habit you're wearing. What's the significance, please, of this beautiful habit?
Well, again, that was one of the things that attracted me to the community. I knew I was looking for a prayerful community, one in teaching ministry primarily, but also the identifiable, recognizable religious habit was something I knew I wanted. It does have meaning. On the one hand, it's just a visible sign so that people see me walking down the street or in the store, at the movies, the airport, and it causes them perhaps to think of God for that moment. Many people come to me and say, oh, would you say a prayer? Or,
it's so beautiful.
Or say, thank you. Thank you for answering God's call. So without saying a word, it has that impact of touching people's lives and causing them to think of God, at least momentarily. The parts of the religious habit also have meaning. I wear a simple black habit as part of our community, and that signifies that we're not really focused on the trends and the styles that come and go in today's world. We're really focused on what's next, eternity.
Wow.
Now that's our goal. And so the simplicity of it also, I don't have to spend a lot of time thinking about what to wear. That seems
very
a lot
true.
Of time, right? And then there's also, we wear a bonnet as opposed to a veil, which many communities wear. The bonnet was, again, part of our look from early on in the 1600s when St. Lucy Filippini lived. And it represents, again, we're the bride of Christ, which also is represented by when we make our perpetual oblation, we receive a crucifix ring as our band of again, saying, I belong to Christ. He has chosen me forever.
The habit, indeed, is very simple, but listeners, I wish you could see Sister Barr. It is beautiful in its simplicity.
And unfortunately, we only have about 6 or 7 minutes, but really, we would love to know, what advice would you give to young women who think that God might be calling them to a religious life as a sister?
Well, I would say, pray. Prayer really will help. It will help them to lead them to wherever it is that God is calling them to. Spending time before the Blessed Sacrament and adoration helps. It might sound like, what could come of that? It's just quiet time. When you're with Jesus in that quiet, the world is so busy and active and noisy, and we're pulled in so many directions, that quiet time really helps to center and focus us on what's truly important. And God will answer those prayers. Going on retreats, discernment retreats, you'll find that you're not alone. There are many others with you who are curious, considering religious vocation. Speaking with religious sisters is a big help. And one of the greatest things is to come and visit. Coming to a religious community, a convent, a mother house, it does not mean that you are there for life. You're still discerning, but you can't discover all what you need to from the outside looking in.
Right.
Spending time, you get to see that we're real people, and we'll try and help you find your way.
Absolutely, and thank you for that guidance and advice. Now, next week, as we mentioned, March 8th through 14th is Catholic Sisters Week. Do you have any special opportunities that our listeners could take advantage of?
We are having a couple of special events held at Villa Walsh, which is our mother house. It's in Morristown, New Jersey, on Wednesday evening, March 11th at 7 p.m. We're having a talk by one of our sisters, Sister Ella Mae McDonald, and she will be explaining and sharing more about religious life, what people may be curious about. It's a wonderful opportunity for young women considering to come and have their questions answered and find out a little bit more. Then of the weekend, Friday through Sunday, we are also holding a Come and See weekend retreat. So those young women who are thinking God may be calling them to religious life, again, it's a perfect opportunity to come spend some time with our sisters in prayer and socializing, seeing the sisters and what the daily life is like, to find out more. So we'd love to have young women come and join us for these.
Sister, in the remaining moments, two final questions. I think I know the answer to this. Gina might as well, but we want to ask it for the listeners also. Would you do it all over again?
I would definitely, definitely do it all over again. I cannot explain the blessings and the joy that I have received by entering religious life and becoming a religious teacher's Filipini. These sisters, the community, it's another family. And the joy of serving others and becoming part of their lives, it's indescribable. So I really do thank God for calling me to this life, which I did not choose on my own. It was a definite call, and I'm grateful.
Listeners, again, you can't see Sister Barbara, but I'm sure you're feeling right in the words coming right from her heart, the joy that she is sharing with the world as a modern-day St. Lucie Filipini. Final question, but it's also very, very important. How can someone who's interested in learning more about becoming a religious teacher's Filipini sister, or coming, let's say, to this great event you're having on March 11th, or the Come and See, how can they best contact you?
Well, you can go to our website, filipiniusa.org. It's filipiniusa.org. Or you can email me at vocations@filipiniusa.org. Again, it's vocations@filipiniusa.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sister Barbara. And after you have contacted Sister, please also remember to follow our Thank God for Monday social media, where you can stay updated on upcoming guests. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Gina, thank you. And I reiterate Gina's Franciscan gratitude to Sister Barbara. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Getting up so extra early on a Saturday morning, you could have been sleeping or doing a lot of other things. You chose to come here and share the good, share the joy with the world. Continued happiness and tremendous contribution, Sister Barbara. And enjoy Catholic Sisters Week. You and all the sisters so very, very much.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, sorry to say that we're out of time once again. Brother Greg and Gina saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Sister Barbara does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. And for some additional blessings for our wonderful sister, here's Professor Stan.
Most Holy Virgin, Mother of God, Mother of all nations, whose image of Tzemach Tehovah Shrine bears scars by hostile hands, through your intercession obtained from your divine Son peace through truth and justice for the beleaguered people of the world. Queen of Peace, replace their despair by hope, dissension by love, darkness by the light of Christ. Despise not our petition, O Queen of the Universe, but in your mercy keep under your protection their heritage of the rights of man and true freedom. O Clement, O Loving, O Sweet Virgin Mary, Amen. Our Lady of Tzemach Tehovah, please pray for us.